You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Topic I want to discuss today, since we're dealing with the Parshas HaShavuos of the Avos, and in particular the Parsha HaShavuah, which deals with the life and the accomplishments and the goals of Yaakov Avinu, there's something very, very special about Yaakov Avinu when it comes to the various miracles that happened to him and his family, when it comes to the various types of Shaloi B'derech HaTeva that Hashem promised in the Bris Bein HaBesarim that he's going to perform on behalf of the Avos and the Mishpachos, even though quite obviously Sarah and Leah, as well as Rachel, had fertility problems, as the Torah describes, very, very poignantly, very, very emotionally, in the Parshas we've been reading last week and this week. Nevertheless, there is an interesting concept that we have when it comes to Yaakov, which is a little different, but similar, but even more in-depth than we have when it comes to perhaps what Chazal say about Sarah and ultimately speaking, Rivka and ultimately Rachel getting pregnant. In all those cases, the Rebbeinu Shem had to intervene on a divine level and give them divine fertility treatments and changes in their body in order to facilitate for them to have the capacity to give birth to children. When it comes, however, to Yaakov as it relates to Rachel and relates to Leah, we find when it comes to the whole situation over there of how many babies, how many children the wives of Yaakov didn't give birth to. At the end, we know the Leah gave birth to 6, the Shifchas gave birth to 2, and ultimately we have even Rachel giving birth to 2, to Yosef and to Binyamin. But we do find that even though the Rebbeinu Shem could obviously helped in the fertility problems of all the Imos and Evos, there's no question he was intricately involved, when it came to Yaakov, when it came to the ability for Rachel to have 2 boys, so she should at least have 2 sons as part of the Yud Bei Shvatim, like the Shifchos, that there had to be a miracle or miracles done in order to facilitate that phenomenon taking place when it comes to Rachel having those 2 children. One of those miracles, according to Rashi, was a sex change. When it came to a boy being made into a girl, a girl being made into a boy, which was one way that ultimately Leah had a girl and Rachel gave birth to a boy. There was sex change that took place with manipulation of the chromosomes in the genes and all in changing the baby's identity from a boy to a girl, girl to a boy. All of this happened in utero. There is a Yonus and Ben Uziel who says that when it came to Rachel and Leah giving birth to Yosef and to Dinah, what happened over here was it wasn't just sex change taking places, but there was actually an embryo transfer. The baby in Leah was placed into Rachel, the baby in Rachel was placed into Leah. So we have over here very sophisticated divine fertility treatments taking place for Yaakov Avinu to make sure that everybody ultimately ends up happy, being a major contributor to the shift they car. But you have a divine version of what I'm going to discuss today, and that is the topic of genetic engineering, the ability to genetically manipulate the chromosomes and genes of our body to do all types of activities that manipulate the natural law of the universe that Hashem created us with, and use that capacity Hashem gave us with our Tzelem Elohim to manipulate natural law for the benefit of mankind in scientific, technological, and medicinal areas, and anything that helps mankind be able to enhance its existence in this world. The term we use today for manipulation of natural law on the most, we call difficult levels, going all the way down to the chromosomes and to the genes and everything else, we call this in the general terminology of genetic engineering. And the Shayla is one thing when the Rabbanu Shalom does it, and the Rabbanu Shalom quite obviously can do whatever he so desires. It's his world and he can do whatever he desires to do. It's one thing for the genetic engineering of the Rabbanu Shalom to be done by the Rabbanu Shalom b'chvodo b'atzmo, and that's exactly what Chazal say was the uniqueness when it came to the birth of some of the children of Yaakov. The genetic engineering was done by the Rabbanu Shalom on divine genetic engineering manipulation from the Rabbanu Shalom, and that's something the Torah describes as quite interesting, unique, when it comes to Yaakovino, in contrast to Abraham and to Yitzchak. However, the question I want to pose today, are we as frum pious Jews who observe Torah and mitzvos, are we allowed to be involved in activities of genetic engineering and manipulation of natural law to take care of our needs and necessities on many different levels? First, in general, when it comes to enhancing species of human beings or animals or plants that we have in existence to this point in time, when it comes to medical treatments, can we use genetic engineering for the purposes of medicinal reasons? Can we use genetic engineering when it comes to the creation of all different types of medicinal phenomenon that were used for the purpose of curing disease? You know, what is the limit that the Rabbanu Shalom set for us when it came to our ability to be involved in this world? And I'm going to pose the question based upon what seems to be, and at least initially, a contradiction in a Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim contrasted to a Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. The Ramban in Parshas Kedoshim brings down the problem of kolayim, of mixing different breeds of entities together. For instance, crossbreeding animals. Or, for instance, taking a tree and grafting one type of fruit from one tree to another type of tree. So we're grafting fruit tree to fruit tree, two different fruit trees. We're growing different seeds together in the ground, which is Kloye Zroim. We're planting various seeds in the ground next to a vineyard, which is called the Easter of Kalayim of a Kerem. All of these are different manifestations of playing with the physical entities of physical creation. And the question arises, are we allowed to do such? And the Torah says no. When it comes to creating Kalayim in this world, when it comes to crossbreeding different types of animals, when it comes to having two different types of seeds grow together in close proximity, or have various types of seeds and plants of fruits and vegetables grow in close proximity to a vineyard, when it comes to grafting different trees, fruits together and such, all of this are Isuri Daraisa under the Isur of Kalayim. And the Ramban in his Perish to Parshas Kedoshim says, even though this is a chok, there is a tam, there's a reason that the Rabbanu Shalom prohibited this activity. I just want to read a couple of his as it relates to this specific very important topic. According to the Ramban says, what is the reason that we can't involve ourselves in Kolayim? So he says very simply that the Rabbanu Shalom created a world. We say, HaTzur Tomim Polo, when Hashem creates, Hashem who's the Tzur, the Tzayar, the architect, the builder, the creator of the universe, he creates with total perfection. And therefore, there's an assumption that whatever he created in this world, everything he did, all the various types of species of animals, of crops, plants, of fish, of birds, even the species of man, everything was created with total divine perfection. And says the Rabban hashgafically, if a person decides he's going to change Masa Bereishis and create new types of species of animals by crossbreeding, or new types of fruits and vegetables by crossbreeding, or basically growing in proximity two different types of seeds, or growing seeds of different types of plants and crops next to a vineyard. In all these cases, he says, what is the hashkafa that's problematic? So he said, machish b'masa b'reishis, it shows that you are trying to undermine and protest the masa b'reishis that Hashem created. Kilu yachshav shelo hishlam HaKadosh Baruch b'olam v'kol hatzarech. It's as if you are saying that Hashem did not, and when it came to masa b'reishis, do all that is necessary to make the masa b'reishis as shalom, as perfect as it possibly can be. And therefore, you, by doing these types of genetic manipulations, so what you're trying to do, mixing genes together and chromosomes together and creating new types of species, it's as if you want to help Hashem create a better Bria than he created up until this point in time. To add new creatures to the Bria, to add new species to the Bria. And the problem is that one of the purposes of Hashem when he created these species is he wanted them to be able to have the fertility capacity as a plant or as an animal, as a human being, to reproduce and continue the species. We know for a fact that species that are mixed together and are crossbred and such have an incapacity to really breed and create new things at a never-ending basis, especially when it comes to Baal HaChaim and such. They have major problems. And if that's the case, one of the purposes of Masa Bereishis to cause the continuity of the species is undermining by doing these types of processes. It frustrates the ability to reproduce and continue the species. Number two, every species that Rabban Hashem created in the universe has a term mentioned connecting to it, which is the term Leminehu. He created everything according to its species. The Rabban Hashem wanted everything to have its unique species, all its qualities, all its unique genes and chromosomes. He did not want us to mix and match one with another. So when you try to crossbreed and do all these types of kolayim, you're mixing up the species. You're making the species imperfect, impure. And number three, the Rabban Hashem has a special control mechanism that he has kochavim, azolos, malachim, and a whole hierarchy of entities that serve as the conduit of Hashem's divine hashpa down here on earth to cause everything to grow, to prosper, to reproduce, to create. But they are all based upon the fact that Hashem's master bereishis and the formula Hashem used is not played with. When you play with Hashem's formula of creation and try to change it and be meshanit, you cause those entities in Shemayim that Hashem created to supervise and watch and maintain the Bria the way Hashem wants it to be and to continue the Bria, you're undermining and undercutting the methodology of Hashem and master bereishis. And that's why he says, you're being machish, you're undermining and literally destroying the vitality of the Bria, the way Hashem wanted it to be a beginning. And the tamimus, the perfection of Bria, is undermined and undercut by you doing these activities. For this reason, without any question, the Issur and prohibition of the halacha when it comes to making kolayim is an Issur d'oraisa, and there's no question it's such. Some of the kolayim are asr b'achila b'hana, like kolay kerem. Some of them are asr in their creation, but the products that they create are basically mutter to be consumed. They're food products and such, even though you shouldn't be doing it. It doesn't asr the food. I'm not going to go into that arichas now, but one thing is for sure. It seems being mishana masa bereishis, from the way Hashem wanted it, is looked upon as being hashkafically apikurisis, and something that is hashkafically something Hashem does not want you to do. At the same point in time, we have another Ramban, the Ramban in the beginning of Sefer Bereishis, where the Rabban Hashem discusses the concept of Bria Sa'olam and the concept of the Bria that Hashem created from the beginning of Masa Bereishis. And Hashem says when it came to the creation of Adam v'Chava, after it tells us they were created B'tzelem Elokim, in God's divine image, which meant to say that Hashem gave us a special divine pentean chip contained in our neshama, contained in our personality, contained in our brain and our body, that allows us to comprehend and understand the Chachmas Hashem that He created in this world, Number one, the Chachma of the Torah, that Hashem gave us the capacity to understand and comprehend on a very deep level. The Tzelem Elokim that He gave a Jew especially is a higher level of Tzelem Elokim, as the Baal HaTanya and everybody discusses, based upon Zohar, that gives us capacities of comprehension and understanding up and above other people who are perhaps are not Niskadesh but Kedushas Yisrael. Even though every creature is created, the human being is the Tzelem Elokim, we have a higher level of Tzelem Elokim, as the Mekubalim explain very explicitly. But besides that, we're also given the capacity with our Tzelem Elokim to understand the Chachma Hashem did and used when it came to Maaseh Bereishis, all the things that Hashem brought into existence in the scientific, technological, medicinal areas of the world's existence, was basically given to man to investigate, to understand, to comprehend of exactly how these things work, and then to utilize them for the health and benefit and welfare of mankind at large. This is subsumed under very unique expression contained at the time of Bryas Adam, where Hashem said, Peruvu, He first told us, as the mitzvah, first mitzvah Rishona, to propagate this world, Peruvu, Milas Aretz, and then He used the word Kivshua from the word Kavash, to conquer. What does Kivshua mean? So the Ramban says in his Perish L'Chumish, that Hashem said that even though there's a natural law that I put in place at the time of the Bria, I'm giving you the right to be Kavish, to conquer this natural law. And if you have to do various things to help and benefit mankind that involve in you manipulating natural law for the health and benefit of mankind, especially when it comes to the areas of medicinal care and such, I am giving you the halachic permissibility to literally ignore the natural law, manipulate all that you have to manipulate, and mishana the natural law on whatever level is necessary in order to make sure you're able to help mankind, especially when it comes to the cure of sickness and the cure of illness, and in other areas that relates to the health and benefit and success of man on the face of this earth in our specific environment. So this Ramban would seem to say that what's being involved in manipulating Maaseh Bereishis is not apikorsis. It's not hachasha and Maaseh Bereishis. So how do you reconcile these Rambans and therefore say that they both can coexist without a problem whatsoever? The answer to this question is resolved by the Gedolei Olam that we were zocher to have in our generation, Rav Orbach Zatzal, Rav Yosef Ben Zatzal, Rav Zilberstein. I can go down the list of all the Gedolei HaRabbanim here in Eretz Yisrael, Misha Feinstein, and others who are involved in all types of understanding and comprehension of the needs we have to have for medical science to help conquer disease and help people be able to survive in the difficult world in which we live. And with their investigation and understanding and what was told to them when it came to the physical realities of natural law and the impediments people are suffering because of it, they gave unique psukim that became the seminal halakha literature we have today when it comes to medical ethical dilemmas that face people from the beginning of creation of children in this world to what we do with people who are coming terminally ill and about to end their life. We have thousands of tshuvas written by our Gedolei Olam based upon their knowledge of the science that was taught to them on these issues and giving us halakhic pronouncements how we're supposed to conduct ourselves and deal with these issues and try to help people as much as we can. So what these Gedolim said was, this is the chilik in the Ramban in Kedoshim and the Ramban in Parshas Bereishis. What the Rabbanu Shlom did not want us to do in Maaseh Bereishis is to create new species of human beings, new species of animals, new species of plant life. Hashem wanted the Minehu, the Min, the species, and the unique formula of that Min to be maintained for perpetuity from now, from the beginning to the end of time. And therefore, anybody who tries to change the species of the different creatures Hashem created, whether they're the animate creatures walking in the face of this earth, or the plant kingdom, whatever it might be, anything we do to try to change the species, the Lemineu, mentioned in Maaseh Bereishis, is hachasha b'arias olam, is hachasha in Hashem's creativity, and something we are prohibited to do based upon the Issa Kalayim, which I described in the beginning of my discussion this morning. But when it comes to therapeutic care and refuahs and treating illness and disease, there we have another pasuk besides the word kifshua. It's the pasuk rapi arape mikan shenit and rishus l'rofu l'rapos, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Bava Kamma on Pehei in the name of the Tanei Rabbi Shmuel, which is paskin halach lamasa in the Shulchan Aruch in Yeridaya, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu might create disease, even though the Rabbeinu Shalom might have created the world and wanted perhaps a certain person for whatever reason momentarily to get sick, we have a mandate, v'rapi rape, to do whatever we can to try to cure the illness, to heal this person, to do whatever we have to we can based upon our knowledge of science and medicine and technology to try to get this person back to a state of healthiness again, of functionality. It comes under the mitzvah deraisa of rapi rape, according to the Rambam, but it comes under the mitzvah of hashivosava hashavas gufo, as the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, giving a person's body back to themselves in a healthy state. It's a mitzvah deraisa, mitzvah pekuach nefesh, as the Ramban says in his Torah Adam. And so therefore, when you combine the concept of rapi rape, and you come to the concept of kiva sha'olam, that's mentioned in Pashas Bereishis, these Gedolei HaPosukim came to the conclusion that any involvement when it comes to our Mishana natural law for the sake of facilitating the refuahs and yeshuahs to human beings who are living in this world, and to take away disease or give them the capacities to do things they couldn't do up until this point in time that they're halakhically required to do because of various physical ailments they might possess, we are mechuyev to be kavish the natural law if necessary to perform the rapi rapi and hashavas hagufo as part of a chiyuv mitzvah min haTorah, and this is therefore the resolution given by these gedolim. So going back to the world of genetic engineering of manipulating genes, the gedolim say the following: if you are manipulating genes not to change species, not to crossbreed animals or do things of that type of nature, but what you're doing is you're playing with chromosomes and you're playing with genes in a person's body or an animal's body for the purpose of curing it from illness and taking away various types of impairments these creatures might have. And by manipulating the natural law of their genes and their chromosomes, you're doing perhaps a gene transplant or a chromosome transplant. But you're doing, like for instance, the CRISPR technology, we're able to take a defective gene from the body and transplant a healthy gene to replace it as a gene transplant. So the Gedolim say the same way you can do an organ transplant to replace a person's heart or lungs or liver or kidney, and that comes under Rapi Rapi and Kibbush Olam. This even goes when it comes to manipulating genes and manipulating chromosomes for the sake of refuahs and yeshuahs. It comes under kibush olam, it comes under rapi rape. Not only is halachically permissible, but there's a mitzvah to do such based upon the commands given to us in the Torah of rapi rape and the mitzvah kibush olam. So therefore, when you look at what we are able to do today, and when you look specifically at the type of genetic engineering I mentioned before when it comes to embryo transfers, when it comes to the question of sex change of genes and chromosomes, when it comes to the creation of a baby, things like this, it's this type of area of halachic debate that exists in the tshuvas today when it comes to genetic manipulation for the refuahs and yeshuahs. How far can we go utilizing modern technology to help people who have medical deficiencies and need medical help, going all the way down to the chromosome level? Now, what's interesting to note, that genetic engineering as a term, if you would look it up in an encyclopedia, look it up into a dictionary, really is very specific dealing with manipulation of genes and chromosomes contained in human beings, contained in animals, contained and perhaps the fruits and vegetables and the plants of our universe that Hashem created. But nevertheless, when it comes to using the term, we use a term in a much more, I would say, all-encompassing phenomenon, that anything that involves an engineering of the body, using medicinal mechanisms to circumvent natural law, we also sometimes include this under the term genetic engineering, even though the genes and chromosomes are not being affected when you're actually doing this type of manipulation. And let me explain to you what I mean by this and get a little more into the halacha lamasa and show you how far Chazal allowed us to go when it came to using this technology for the purposes of saving and maintaining human life, and therefore giving a person to have capacities they didn't have up until this point in time based upon our medical science and our medical knowledge that Hashem allowed us to be able to understand the unique Tzalem HaKim he gave us at the time of Maaseh Bereishis. Let me go back to perhaps one of the earliest technologies that we had in our world in which we were dealing with the primary elements of human creation, the sperm and the egg. Now, there was a time, many, many, many years, that people in later generations had infertility problems. And the miraculous phenomenon that happened to the Ovos V'Imos, where Hashem had Malachim be involved in embryo transfer or changing the gender of the baby using all different types of divine agents to accomplish that. As I said, the Rabban Hashem can do what he wants, but the question is, what can we do? What do we have a right to do as human beings, as B'nai Torah and B'nos Torah? So the medical community, I'm talking about the halacha medical community, had to analyze when people have fertility problems and they have to come to artificial insemination utilizing a husband's sperm, or have to get involved in in vitro fertilization of harvesting sperm and egg from the husband and wife and artificially allowing the sperm and egg to combine in a laboratory, in a petri dish, in a test tube, and have the conception take place in a laboratory, creating the blastocyst there, which is created naturally in the body when the sperm and egg come together, and then artificially inserting those blastocysts back into a woman's body for them to connect to the uterine wall and 9 months later to create a full-fledged, healthy baby.
You are listening.
So the Shayla was raised to our Gedolim, are we allowed to be involved in this? Because we're playing with sperm and eggs, you're dealing with chromosomes, you're dealing with genes that are contained in the sperm and egg. Each one has 23 chromosomes, genes connected to it, and we're manipulating things in an artificial mechanism in a laboratory. Are we allowed to do these things? Is this type of genetic engineering permissible based upon Kibush Olam and Rapi Arape? And the consensus of the Gedolim who dealt with this topic, Paskin Halach Lamasa, not only is it permissible, but there's a mitzvah to do such. You're helping people be able to mekayim the mitzvah peruvu, which is the first mitzvah contained in the Torah, one of the most primary mitzvahs of the Torah, to propagate the world and make sure human beings exist and continue to exist to the end of time. Entities, human beings, were able to get mitzvahs from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and connect to Hashem through Torah of the mitzvahs. That's why Hashem made this the first mitzvah in the Torah, because this mitzvah facilitates the performance of all the other mitzvahs of the Torah, as is explained by the Sefer Chinuch. So the Gedolim Paskin, for couples who have infertility problems and cannot produce children naturally, all different types of medical problems could be caused, blockages in the fallopian tube based upon disease or based upon, unfortunately, the creation of the child with some type of genetic defect initially or some type of physiological defect in their system, not enabling the body to work properly. The Rabban Hashem allowed us, therefore, to be involved in these types of technologies to help create children artificially on some level, at least in the beginning of it when it comes to the conception itself. And therefore, IVF technology, even the ability to use a micro mechanism of insemination, of taking one sperm in a laboratory and putting it into one egg, and that specific micro injection is able to cause a conception and create a healthy baby child later on. Thousands of children have been created that way. Or other types of vitro fertilization, of gift and zift, all the other stuff that we have in the arsenal of reproductive sciences. Chazal basically permitted this as long as the eggs and sperm that are used are coming from the husband and wife. We guarantee, halach lamasa, we're using the husband and wife sperm today by having trained men and women to be the mashkicha mashkichos in the laboratories of the hospitals to make sure that only the husband's sperm and egg are used in these types of activities. And halach lamasa, they have to be careful, because if we didn't supervise, we found that sometimes there is falsification of what sperm and eggs used in the creation of babies. We want to have hashgacha to make sure that only the husband and wife sperm and egg are used. This is one earlier form of the concept of genetic engineering and manipulation that became part of the mitzvah of Rabbi Arape, Kibbush Olam, and is permitted by this day in both the Litvish community, the Hasidish community, for couples who have childbearing difficulties. But if you want to see how far we went with this technology, I'm going to show you how this technology and this incredible Rapi Rapi and Kibbush Olam brought us to the next level of incredible scientific manipulation of genetics for the sake of giving refuahs to human beings. And I'm coming from the IVF model to the concept what's called stem cell research and cell therapies. A stem cell is basically an egg and a sperm that come together that are able to create a human being. They become like a stem that creates the fruit. The child is the fruit that's created from them. So when the sperm and egg come together and they unite, the actual nuclei unite, each one having 23 chromosomes, become a 46 chromosome, start to subdivide, undergo mitosis in the fallopian tube or in the test tube, and 5 days later become a blastocyst, which then is the actual ultimate completion of the sperm and egg coming together, coming into a level of a blastocyst cell, which is looked upon as the most totipotent form of stem cell in the body. Naturally, it flows from the fallopian tube to the uterine wall, connects to the uterine wall, and the inner cell mass of this cell then develops the 200 tissue types that make up human beings, that we are today, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet and all the organs contained inside our bodies. You can artificially create a blastocyst in a laboratory and then insert it artificially into the body. Once it connects to the uterine wall, the process continues naturally from there until a child is born healthy as well. So the fact of the matter is that technology has in it a very interesting phenomenon. And that phenomenon is that since the processes are very, very expensive and there's no guarantee, they basically just don't harvest one egg from a woman, which is produced monthly, even though the husband produces millions of sperm, but they don't want to take any chances. So in the medical community, they superovulate the wife. That month she'll produce not one egg, maybe she'll produce 10 eggs or 15 eggs. They'll harvest the eggs, bring them into the laboratory, expose them to the husband's sperm, and all of a sudden you're going to have 15 conceptions taking place if there are 15 eggs coming up against millions of sperm. So we have what they're called prezygotes that are developing now in the laboratory from this specific couple. By 5 days of growth in the laboratory, you now have 15 blastocysts. Two or three of them are reinserted into the wife's body, hoping that at least one of them will connect and create a healthy, viable child. When it comes, halach lamasa, to the rest of the one, like the 13 you have left, what we're able to do is literally put them in suspended animation, freezing them in special types of freezers with special types of liquids that have the capacity to literally put them in suspended animation for as long as you want. If these couples with fertility problems in the future want to have more babies, they don't have to go through the process from the very beginning. You take the deep freeze blastocyst out, as many as you want, and you bring it down to room temperature, you implant them into the mother's body, and lo and behold, you can create healthy babies from the first process you did many, many years earlier. So this is a science that has been perfected, and Baruch Hashem, by now thousands and thousands of children have been created, maybe even millions, by these specific processes. But now let's come to the following dilemma. What happens if, in fact, we're not going to use all of the 15 that were created? Some were used already to create Baruch Hashem a nice Shein and Mishpacha. The rest basically are not going to be used. So the question that was proposed to the Gedolei HaPoskim, can we take the residue that's not going to be used for reproduction, and we want to, instead of throwing them away, which we could, we want to use them in medical investigation for a very, very important process, and that is to cure disease. So you say to me, how can you cure disease with the leftover blastocysts in a laboratory? What can we do to help people fight disease? So imagine the following case scenario. You take, technically speaking, these blastocysts that are not going to be used for fertility anymore, and what you do is you bring them into a laboratory. We're able to literally open up the blastocysts and harvest out the inner cell mass, and through various types of chemical and laboratory processes, we're able to take these totally potent stem cells, and through manipulation, we're able to take the inner cell mass, which were cells that were programmed by the Rabbanu Shalom to produce the 200 types of tissue that make up all the organs and tissue was our bodies. We can replicate that process by pushing the genes on the chromosomes in these specific genetic materials and create these types of skin, of cardiac material, neural material, pancreatic material. We're literally able to create this type of tissue in a laboratory. This is called stem cell research and therapies. Imagine a person has a cardiac problem and part of his cardiac cells of his heart are dying or becoming literally dysfunctional. Imagine being able to create cardiac material in a laboratory using these processes, or what's called stem cell research therapies and cell creation, and create cardiac material and take that cardiac material and insert it into a person's heart to replace the diseased material and cure the heart from that disease and make it a healthy heart again. Can you imagine how many people's hearts could be cleaned and cured? We wouldn't have to come necessarily to a heart transplants later on. Same thing could happen to lungs. Same things could happen perhaps to neurological material in our brain to cure Alzheimer's and other types of diseases of neurons of the brains, to take care of pancreatic disease, take care of liver disease, of kidney disease, heart disease. I mean, we have tremendous potentiality with this technology, especially when you add to that what's called 3D printing. We perhaps might be able, and we already started, to be able to use this human tissue created in a laboratory, and with 3D modeling, be able to create a 3D model of the organ you want to replace in a laboratory using this technology to implant it into your body. The question is this permissible? We're manipulating the mass vibrations of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not on any level, but literally on a genetic level, on a very, very deep genetic and chromosome level. And once again, the Gedolim said, this is halachically permissible. This comes under Rapi Rapi and Kibish Olam, you're curing and conquering disease. And in their mind, the destruction of the blastocyst in the laboratory that was never inserted into a human being and is never going to be used for fertility is not therefore a problem of literally hashkash zeri. You're not destroying something. You're not performing an abortion over here. You're basically doing something to create a new form of medicinal cure for a person's diseased body parts itself. And therefore, all the potentially surim of Chabalah, of Ritzicha, of Hashkach Zera that applies to doing an abortion in the body, there's no abortion in a laboratory item that's been created in a laboratory and kept in a laboratory and is never going to be used for fertility whatsoever. On the contrary, you're Mekayim Rapi Rape, you're Mekayim Kibbeh She'olam. And when science saw their capacity to do such, and some people, in fact, were helped by these types of technologies, and the Gedolim gave the stamp of approval, they then realized there's still one other area that we still have to fine-tune over here in order to try to make this process as clean and as effective as possible. And that is the next specific problem you have in all types of transplants that take place in our body. Anytime you transplant anybody's body part into your body to replace yours, like a heart, a lung, liver, kidney, whatever it might be, you have a very, very big problem confronting you. And that is the immune system Hashem created to protect the bodies against disease and foreign bodies. When they see the medical community doing open heart surgery and putting somebody else's heart in your body to replace your heart, or somebody else's lungs, or somebody else's liver, or kidney, or whatever it might be, your body doesn't know that they're doing it to save your life. They look upon this as the intrusion of a foreign body into your body. And if the immune system was allowed to function, it would then activate itself and destroy that organ, looking upon it as a potential fatal entity entering your body, which can cause the destruction of your life. Therefore, up until now, anybody involved in getting transplants had to be put on what's called immunosuppressant drugs, drugs that suppress your immune system to prevent your immune system from destroying all the organs of other people that have been transplanted into your body to keep you and prevent you from, quite obviously speaking, dying from a dysfunctional body. And therefore, by using immunosuppressing drugs, your immune system will not kill these new organs that have been implanted into your body that were harvested to save your life. But there's one little problem. Once I start using immunosuppressing drugs, I have another major dilemma. And that dilemma is the following: that my body's immune system has been compromised, and if, God forbid, even though I have a new functioning organ that's being protected by immunosuppressing drugs, if bacteria or viruses got into my body in other areas and are threatening my life, well, my body would normally have destroyed those viruses and bacteria automatically because of functional immune system. Since I basically turned down or shut off the immune system with these drugs, I'm now subject to the ravaging of these viruses and bacteria that can kill me, and not only kill me, but ultimately destroy my body automatically. The organ you put inside me has no value whatsoever. So a person who is on this type of protocols is in a catch-22. You literally have to live like a hermit away from society and pray that you're not infected with anybody else's viruses and bacteria to be able to maintain that artificial organ that's been put into your body and has become part of your body, that you should not have anything else that's preventing you to use immunosuppressing drugs. Since the medical community realized that that's almost an impossibility to ensure, they then took this science of what I told you up until now, of manipulation of genes and chromosomes and such, and took it to the next level. And this level is, as I want to use this as the completion of today's shiur, just to show you how far science has gone. And the science I'm referring to very specifically is called somatic cell nuclear transfer. That science says we have another way of preventing this type of rejection of your heart by stopping the immunosuppressing drugs. If a new heart's been planted into you and it's a foreign body, how do I, once again, have your immune system function and all the body parts that have been planted into you not to be rejected and destroyed? So the medical community said we have a beautiful, brilliant idea. We can, literally speaking, take a cell of your body, for instance, a skin cell. All the body cells that we have the 46 chromosomes that were created in our bodies at the time of our creation. All of these cells with 46 chromosomes are all called somatic cells. Our skin cell is just one of the easiest ones available for us to harvest. We are theoretically capable of taking a skin cell and taking that skin cell into a laboratory. And you have to realize that skin cell is a very, very small microscopic cell. We're able to, in a safe way, take the nucleus out of that somatic cell, your skin cell, and take an egg, let's say your wife's egg, whose nucleus has been taken out of the egg without destroying the egg, and insert the nucleus of your somatic cell from your skin into the egg cell that's been denucleated from its own nucleus. When the cell now has a new nucleus put into it, that's 46 chromosomes, the egg that was basically created by God, that when it has 46 chromosomes, it thinks it underwent conception. This egg will undergo cell division, and within 4 or 5 days in the laboratory, will develop into a blastocyst itself. Now, what we do with this blastocyst is tear it open. We harvest the inner cell masses contained inside this blastocyst, take it into a laboratory, and by maneuvering the genes and chromosomes and the louvers with technical types of measures we have in changing these specific cells into specific tissue types, we're now taking cells that are carbon copies of your body material, since we took them, quite obviously speaking, from your somatic cell. They have the same exact 46 chromosomes that is contained in your body. And if we need to basically create heart material to replace your defective heart material, or one day we'll be able to create, perhaps with a 3D printing, a brand new heart that replicates your heart, and be able to replace your heart with a heart that was created with somatic cells from your body that has exactly your DNA, we can literally implant this artificially created heart into your body and replacing your heart without the need of immunosuppressant drugs, because the DNA contained in these materials of these types of tissue types in the heart we created for you are coming from your own DNA material. There's no concept of rejection. There's no concept of the immune system attacking them. So we're able to create a heart from your own body tissue utilizing somatic cell nuclear transfer. And when the Gedolim were asked the question, does this come under Rapi Arapi and the concept of Kibush Olam? They answered likewise in the affirmative. The answer is yes. All the Hatarim we had given when it came into the initial concept of stem cell therapy and making cells and organs applies to somatic cell nuclear transfer as well. We eliminate the need of using immunosuppressant drugs, and this person therefore can have these organs or tissue replacing their disease organs and tissues forever without any fear of the immune system being compromised or not having the ability to fight disease if viruses or bacteria enter their system. All of this comes under the lumdis of Kibush Olam of Rapi Arapi. It shows you how modern technology, with all its sophistication, when you boil it down to the various pieces involved in the medical phenomenon, the medical science, and you compare it with the halakhic protocols which have been developed over the years, starting with initially infertility therapies and developing ultimately from fertility therapies to ultimately curative therapies of stem cell research and somatic cell nuclear transfer, when you see how one science leads to another science, and all of them come under Kibush Olam Rapi Arapi, we therefore have attainment today to create, therefore, these types of systems, these types of refuos, on levels we never imagined we would have the capacity to ever do before. And therefore, halach lamasa, this gives us the capacity, this gives us the ability to quite obviously do things on a level when it comes to Rapi Arapi we never thought before we would have the capacity to do, and halakha lamasa, it is therefore permissible to do such according to the protocols of halakha lamasa. We therefore see from all of this that according to Chazal, the ability for man to be involved with HaKadosh Baruch Hu as a shutef amasa bracious when it comes to eradicating and fighting disease and having the capacity to cure people on levels you never imagined we would have the capacity to cure them up until this point in time, we see that the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us first the chokhmah of the science itself of how to do these interesting medical technologies. Number two, the Rabbeinu Shalom has given us Gedolei Hadar, who were able to master Shas and Peskim, and are able to relate all the various technical, medical, and scientific shalos to the protocols of halacha contained in Agadoli HaPoskim and Shulchan Aruch, and show the relationship of one to the other and come out with definitive Piskei Halachos in the response of literature, the thousands of tshuvas that have been written today concerning medical science and the ability to cure people from various diseases they are affected with and give them the ability to have a cure that's halachically permissible and a cure that allows them to literally achieve incredible capacities of refuahs on levels we never thought before. All of this comes under the rubric of genetic engineering, whose purpose is the refuahs of human beings, the refuahs of mankind, giving people the capacity of having children who are cholim she'ein bei sakana halachically, and giving them the ability to be able to produce children today, healthy children, ability to conquer disease, the ability to do things that literally we couldn't do before. The latest science I just want to mention parenthetically, which I don't have time to go into today, but is a further, I would say, development when it comes to medical sciences today, is something that's quite interesting. Even the somatic cell nuclear transfer, it's one thing if the disease that you have in your body that's causing the deterioration of your heart or other organs is based upon bacteria, viruses, outside phenomena invading your body and causing this type of deterioration. But what happens if the defect that's causing your body to get sick is based upon genetic mutations, genetic defects in your genome? What do we do when it comes to that type of case? The somatic cell nuclear transfer ain't going to help you, because any cells that you create through that process I described before, those cells you're harvesting, the nucleus you're harvesting, already have these mutations contained inside, and any replacement tissues that you try to replace in a laboratory, the diseased tissue is going to have the same genetic defect. So the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us a new window of opportunity with our study of science of the Chachma Briyat Olam. And the science I'm referring to now is the science of CRISPR, C-R-I-S-P-R, look it up. And what CRISPR is we now have a capacity that we're developing and we're basically perfecting, in which we are now able to search the genome of a person's body who we think does have a certain genetic defect, like Tay-Sachs might be an example. We're able to locate exactly where the genetic defect is in their genome, in their DNA and such, and we are literally able to extract with perfection the genetic defect of that gene that's defective in your genome, do a genetic transplant, and transplant a healthy genomic material from another person into your genome, changing your genome forever, and literally giving your genome a total, healthy, perfect format. A person have a baby had a Tay-Sachs defect, you can make the baby Tay-Sachs free by doing the CRISPR type of transplant technology, which has now been worked upon to perfect. If this technology reaches the levels that it's able to reach, we'll be able to cure all the genetic diseases that we have on mankind today, make them totally free from this defect, and therefore prevent it from getting sick or being destroyed by this defect activating itself at an early age or a later age of human existence. All of this, once again, the purpose of this genetic manipulation is not to make a new min, a new species, a new creature, but to literally cause refuahs as part of Kibush Olam, part of Rapi Arapi, part of Hashivosala. And when the poskim were asked about this technology, they said that since the purpose of this technology is the medical cure and the medical help of mankind at large, and Klal Yisrael in particular, it comes under all the heterim and the psukim I mentioned before, of Rapi Arapi, of Kibush Olam. This is the type of genetic engineering and manipulation that Hashem wanted us to be able to develop, to be shutfim b'masa b'reishis, and to help the creation of the world and the human beings living in the world with all the other creatures to be healthy, to survive, to thrive, and perform what we have to do as a shlichas of Hashem in the maintenance of the world and the universe till the end of time. These are the phenomenal, phenomenal, phenomenal inyanim of genetic engineering, which we can do now as human beings. The Chumash described the genetic engineering of the Ribbono Shel Olam b'chvod v'b'atzmo. We have to be holach b'derecha, follow HaKadosh Baruch Hu's derachim, and if He gives us with our tzelem elokim the capacity to emulate Hashem's kochos and do our genetic engineering as well to help people with fertility problems, as the others will help other Ribbono Shel Olam and fight other types of diseases, we are given the capacity and mitzvah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to do such. Let's hope and pray that the Ribbono Shel Olam will give us the ability to eradicate all disease from the face of this earth, that mankind should no longer be confronted with these types of impediments. Everybody should have the capacity to produce healthy children. We should be able to build a world that's a healthy world, that's a normal world, a world where human beings have maximal potential to use their moach, their mind, their brain, their body for constructive purposes, both on a spiritual level and a physical level. Let's hope for the ultimate eradication of disease, which Chazal says is going to take place from the Tekufa of Yemosa Mashiach and Olam Haba. Sheyavo b'mher Ramenu, we should be able to see this and be zochah to see it. B'karov, wishing everybody who has a problem to have a total refuah shleima, and hopefully the medical community will be able to cure you from your disease, conquer the COVID problem we have today with therapies and vaccines that they're using their chokhmah ma'aseh b'reishis to devise. Let's hope and pray we can go back to a normal lifestyle, normal social interventions between families and between the members of those families, between friends and relatives, human beings, be able to attend weddings and chasnas and brisin and bar mitzvahs, be able to celebrate in shul without limitations, and be able to have a life of simchas Torah, where we're able to mesameach without any types of strictures or placed upon us. Let's hope and pray the world will go back to a state of total normalcy. B'siyata d'shmaya, with the help of the Rabbanu Shalom. B'mheimein, amein, amein.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.